description, do you?
No, I guess not. Amen. Beautiful, ladies, beautiful. Thank you for that special. And you know, until we're there, we don't get anything from the Lord. But when we get there, business is picking up. Go with me, if you will, to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. In John's Gospel, chapter 4, we're going to read for our text verses 1 through 10. John chapter 4, verses 1 through 10. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he, the Lord, left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that it saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. And Lord, we thank you that when we get thirsty enough in our soul, that you qualify us, you get us ready, that we might have that living water. And I pray that you'll help us in our hearts even now to be sensitive, to be open to you. I pray for power and grace to deliver the message. I pray you'll apply it to hearts and that you'll do a work that needs to be done in all of us tonight. I pray you'll bless these young people that are gathered as well. Thank you, Lord, that they could be here. And I pray you'll bless those that are so eager to help them and teach them and so laboring, Lord, to have their spiritual needs met. And I pray you'll bless your church. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, when we preach, what happens? We'll find out. Amen. We're getting into the Word right now. And in this text, looking at that woman at the well, it's pretty clear from verse 4, the Lord went kind of a roundabout way. The Bible said that he must needs go through Samaria. He had an appointment. He had a mission in Samaria. You know what that mission was? It was a drink of water. But not for himself. Amen? It was for one woman that was there that he knew about. One woman, sinful and proud and dirty and religious and depraved and obnoxious and very, very thirsty. And he knew it. Amen? Well, that's the value of one, as they say. Now, I'm glad he had a mission back in 1971 in Daegu, South Korea. He was looking at one man who was about 21 years of age, religious and proud and self-righteous and sinful and soul-sick and desperate and thirsty. Very, very thirsty. And He made me his mission, and I'm sure happy about it tonight. Amen? Well, when you look at the time of day, it was midday, about noon to 3 p.m. there at Jacob's well. And here comes this woman of Samaria to get water. And, you know, it's interesting. As she comes to get water, that most of the time the women would have come in the evening when it wasn't so hot. As a matter of fact, she was coming there intentionally when the fewest people would be there. She wasn't exactly the most popular among the Gentile people, if you know what I mean. She was not anything but an outcast as far as they were concerned. And she really didn't want to be around them. She just wanted to get water. And that was the time for her to go because nobody else would be there. She could slip in and slip out. But he was there sitting on the edge of the well and wearied from his journey. And here she comes now. In verse 7, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith to her, give me to drink. And I think that he was doing that intentionally to draw her in. Amen? And please, he's saying, give me to drink. And, you know, her response, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria, for the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Why would he want contact with her? Number one, she was a woman, and why was he even speaking with her, dealing with her? And she was a Samaritan. You know, when the Pharisees wanted to insult the Lord and wanted to blaspheme him, they said, thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil. You've got a demon. And you're Samaritan. And they wanted to get as low down as they could. And so they said that he was demon-possessed. And as bad as that, he was part of that mongrel religion of the Samaritans. Gross slander to call somebody a Samaritan. Well, here she was, a Samaritan, a woman. And not only that, but he also knew that she was degraded, grossly degraded by sin and shame. And why did he want contact, anything to do with her? Well, why did he want anything to do with me? Why did he want anything to do with you? We just had different sins. But we were just as much sinners and hopeless and helpless and guilty before a thrice holy God as she was. His response to her as she asked that question, why would you want anything to do with me? He said, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him and he would have given thee living water. If thou knewest the gift of God, do you know, and who it is that said this to you, people don't know. People don't know. Sinners don't know him. They don't know him. Now, they may know all about him. You could even be raised in a good Baptist church and learn all about him 100 times a year and still not know him. The sad reality is that sinners do not know the gift of God. They can know about it, but they don't know the gift of God. I love what the Apostle Paul said, and I hope it'll strike you like it did me. In Colossians 1 and verse 6, it was like he said, he talked about them since the day that they knew the gospel, and since the day you knew the grace of God in truth. Since the day that you really and truly came to know the grace of God. I tell you what, when you meet the grace of God and come to know the grace of God, it is amazing. Amen. And that amazing grace is more than just a song. It just occurred to me, it might be a good opportunity, though this is totally unorthodox. Can I borrow this chair? I wasn't going to get you, brother. All right. I want to go ahead and do what I almost did, but it just wasn't right. Wasn't time. I believe right now is the time. We're talking about amazing grace. I just ask you to listen prayerfully. Amen. 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 Now, here's the question. Did anybody know what song that was? Amen. Well, it was Amazing Grace. Let me ask you this, another question. When did grace become amazing to you? Huh? Everybody knows the song Amazing Grace. You'd be surprised the heathen that'll get up living wicked out in the world and get up and sing Amazing Grace. Huh? And they don't know a thing about it. Well, that's this woman right here. She didn't know the gift of God. She didn't know the Messiah. And as you get back into the Word and look there at verse 10, he said, if thou knewest the gift of God. But if she'd never known him, she'd never known the gift of God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, eternal death in hell. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. For it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And likewise, they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of God. Amen. As many as received him, a gift is no good unless it's received. Amen. And guess what? When you receive the gift, it becomes yours. When you receive the gift of God, now you know the gift. Amen. Now it's not just speculation or hearsay. Now, well, as they say in Mississippi, Brother Josh, there's a reality to it. Amen. Now it's real. I read years ago, Dr. Harry Ironside, an illustration that I've just got to give to you at this point. There was a landlord in Ireland, somewhat eccentric. He had a vast estate, and he had a number of people who were renting cottages all over his estate. When the Lord saved him, this wealthy man was anxious to make clear to these people the marvelous provision God had made for their salvation. So you know what he did? He caused to be posted in prominent places on his wide domains. Notices, these papers put up on fences and on trees and anywhere that people might see them. And he put these notices to the effect that on a given day, he would be in his office down by the lodge gates from 10 o'clock in the morning until 12 noon. During that time, it said on the notices, he would be prepared to pay the debts of all his tenantry, everybody that lived on his estate. If they brought their unpaid bills with them, he would pay their debts if they'd come to him. So, for days, the notices were the cause of much excitement. You can imagine all those people in that area. The people talked of the strange offer, and some declared it a hoax. Others were certain there must be a catch somewhere. A few even thought it indicated the landlord was going out of his mind. For who had ever heard of a sane man making such an offer? When the announced day came, many of the people could be seen making their way to the office, and as the time approached, a great crowd had gathered about the door. Promptly at 10, the landlord and his secretary drove to the gate, left the carriage, and without a word to anyone, entered the office and closed the door. Well, outside, a great discussion had begun, all these people milling around. And it became more vehement every minute. It got heated. Was there anything to it? Did he really mean it? Would he only make a fool of someone that brought their bills of their indebtedness? Some insisted that it was his actual signature at the foot of the notice, and surely he would not dishonor his name. But an hour passed. Let's see, 10 o'clock, that would put it 11. Amen, don't you like my math? But an hour passed, and no one had gone in to present his claim. If one suggested to someone else to venture, he would be met by an angry response. I don't owe so very much. I have no need to go in. Let someone else try it first. Someone who owes more than I do. And so the precious moment slipped away. Finally, when it was nearing 12 o'clock, an aged couple from the farthest bounds of the estate came hobbling along arm in arm. The old man had a bundle of bills clutched tightly in one hand. In quavering tones, he inquired, "Is it true, neighbor, that the landlord be paying the debts of all who come today?" "He ain't paid none yet," said one. "We think it's just a cruel joke," said another. The old couple's eyes filled with tears. "Is it all a mistake? We hoped it was true and thought how good it would be to be able to die free of debt." They were turning disconsolately away, very discouraged, when somebody said, "Well, no one has tried him yet. Why not go in? And hey, if he pays your bills, come out quickly and tell us and we'll go in too." To this, the old folks agreed and timidly opened the door and entered the office, where a kind welcome awaited them. In answer to their question as to whether the notice was true, the secretary said, "Do you think the landlord would deceive you? Let me see your bills." They were all presented, carefully tabulated, added everything up, and a check was made out and given to them to cover them. All those bills, probably hundreds of dollars, maybe thousands of dollars. Overwhelmed with gratitude, the old man and his wife arose to leave, but the secretary said, "Please just be seated. You must remain here till the office closes at noon." They explained that the crowd outside was waiting for verification from them of the strange offer. But the landlord said, "No, you took me at my word. They must do the same if they want their debts paid." So the minutes passed. Outside, the people moved restlessly about, watching the closed door. But none lifted the latch. At high noon, the door opened and the old folks came out first. "Hey, did he keep his word?" the crowd asked. "Yes, neighbors, here is his check and it's as good as gold." "Well, why didn't you come out and tell us?" angrily asked many. Well, he said we must wait inside and you must come as we did and take him at his word. A moment later, the landlord and his secretary came out and hurried to the carriage. The crowd pressing about them, holding out hands full of personal bills and crying, "Won't you do for us as you did for those folks?" But rising in his carriage, the landlord said, "It is too late now. I gave you every opportunity. I would have paid for you all, but you would not believe me." Then he likened the events of the morning to the way men treat God's offer to free the sinner of all that divine justice has against him. Solemnly, he warned them of the folly of passing up so great salvation until the day of grace was over and it was too late to be saved. "If thou knewest the gift of God, if only you knew, you would have asked of him," he told her. "You would have asked of me, and he would have given thee living water. You would have been the receiver of the gift of God." Well, in verse 11, she said in John 4 and verse 11, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water?" She only understood, she only saw, she only knew about natural things. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, their foolishness unto him. "Thou hast nothing to draw with. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Just doesn't get it, just does not get it. Well, you know, she wondered about it and she said, "Hey, you're talking about living water. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle?" That's her challenge. "You think you're greater than Jacob?" And we want to answer, don't we? Yeah, just a little bit. Amen. Yeah, I'm going to say he just might be a little bit greater than Jacob was, all right? He just happened to be the one that created Jacob, all right? If she only knew how much greater he was than Jacob. He's the one who said before Abraham was, "I am." Amen. Yeah, greater than Jacob, sure enough. And then he told her in verse 13, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again." Do you know what he was really saying to her? I believe he was really saying to her, "Aren't you tired of trying to be satisfied on a natural level like everybody out in the world is? You know, get more stuff and the man with the most toys at the end wins, and you've seen the bumper stickers and all that nonsense." I mean, that really is the way people think. Somebody asked Rockefeller, I don't know if Trump would be this honest or not, excuse me, but somebody asked Rockefeller, said, "How much money does it take to satisfy a man?" He said, "Just a little bit more than he has." Huh? Aren't you tired of trying to be satisfied just on a natural level with the world's water? Aren't you tired of trying to be satisfied living for self and for sin and just doing what everybody else in the world is doing and it's not satisfying? Aren't you tired of trying to be satisfied with that which does not satisfy and you know it? I believe he looked her in the eyes and she knew what he was saying. "You're really thirsty, aren't you?" He knew her. "You're really thirsty, aren't you? And I mean, really, down in your heart, you're really thirsty." "Oh, well," he said, "you'll thirst again. You just get this water." But he said, "Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." You know, that word "drinketh" is interesting. Have you ever thought in the Bible how many words there are for faith? We know the word, we talked about it earlier, "receive." Amen? That's a word for faith. "As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Amen? Believe, receive. He's the water of life, you drink him. He's the bread of life, you
eat him. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. That word come is a faith word. You know, if you believe him, you set to your seal that God is true. Amen. That's a faith word. There's several faith words. I'm sure you can think of some more. But this is one of those faith words, drinketh. If you'll drink, whoso drinketh of the water that I shall give him, whoso receives the water that I shall give him, whoso believes the water that I shall give him. And you know, he said that twice in verse 14, that I shall give, that I shall give. Two times, emphatic. It'll be in him. Deep down inside, it'll be in him. Deepest soul thirst, forever satisfied. That's what he's saying. Never thirst once you drink this water. I'm here to say amen. Can I have a witness? Amen. Yeah, that's right. I mean, really satisfied. He satisfieth the longing soul. He filleth the hungry soul with goodness. And she just looked at him goggle-eyed and said, I want it. Huh? I want it. She got to doing the math and thinking how far she had to walk and how heavy it was to carry back and how many times she had to do that every day she had to do that, and sometimes maybe more than that. I don't know. She said, I want it. In verse 15, look at what she said. Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. She's still thinking on the only level she's got to think on. Purely natural. Purely natural. She's saying, I want it. She still didn't even know what it was. But I want it, she said. Well, I admire her for that. But you know, she was still bound to natural thinking. I want it. Well, she was ripe for easy believism. She was ripe for superficial salvation. A counterfeit conversion, man, she was ready for that. You know, he could have put some notches in his gospel gun right on the spot. Amen. But you know, he knew there was another problem that needed to be addressed before she could even think about drinking that water. And he really was answering her in verse 16 when it seemed like he changed the subject. She's saying, I want that water. I want that water. He said, okay, go call your husband and come hither. Doesn't it sound like to you he changed the subject? No, no, he didn't change the subject. He went right down the alley, amen, right down the alley he went, and it was bullseye, and he was saying to her, if you really want this water, you're going to have to face your sin and your sinfulness before God. You're going to have to admit your sin. You're going to have to repent of your sin and your sinhood as a sinner before holy, holy, holy God, if you really want this water. Now, in verses 16 through 18, he continued on. The woman said, I have no husband. She thought she was going to get off with that. She didn't know the one she was talking to was omniscient, knows everything. Amen. And she said, I have no husband. He said, yeah, you know, you really did say the truth. You have no husband. For you've had five husbands, and the one you shacked up with now, you're not even married to him. That wasn't all right back then. You reckon it's changed? Well, anyway, so thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, and that saidst thou truly. You know, I get the idea. She didn't really want to talk about that. Especially when I see how she changes the subject, okay? She did not want to talk about that. She wanted to get around the sin. Nobody ever gets saved by going around the sin issue. You have to face it, admit it, own up to it, and be brokenhearted about it, straight head on, amen? And she wanted to get around that thing. And her sins were because she was a sinner. And that's the point he was trying to make. And, you know, she's starting to get uncomfortable now. He's cutting too close to the heart. And so she changes the subject. Verse 19, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." Do you see what she's saying? "I have spiritual perception." I hope you're impressed with that. Huh? That's what she's saying. Said, "I just want you to know I'm deeply religious. Deeply religious." It's amazing to me how religious people can be when they're overt sinners. I mean, it's bad enough when they're covert sinners, but when they're overt sinners, but they still want to be impressed and impress themselves and others with how religious they are. I somehow don't think he was impressed, though. It just, that dog won't hunt. Amen. She's getting uncomfortable. And she goes on to say, "Hey, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, Mount Gerizim," you know, the Samaritans. "And ye say that in Jerusalem," you Jews, "you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." She just knew she could get him off the trail, huh? Off the trail. Let's start an argument, and then we'll just argue about that and forget about the fact that I've had five husbands and I'm shacked up with another one. Are you with me? Just forget about that, you know. And that's what she's doing. Let's just talk religion. You know what her problem is? She's defensive. Touchy, touchy. Touchy, touchy. Oh, my. "But I'm religious," she's saying. "Let's debate." And then you get to verses 21 through 24. She brought up the subject of where you're supposed to worship. Now, she brought up the subject of worship. She picked the subject. The subject now is worship. And I want to tell her, you don't bring a knife to a gunfight. Amen? He just happens to know a little bit about worship. Real worship. And he goes on to explain to her, it's not about where. He said, it's about whether you're really worshiping or not. And he said, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither." It's not here or there. It's neither this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, you know not what. You don't even know who you're worshiping or what you're worshiping. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But then he said, "But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers." She got the drift. Amen. "When the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him." If you'd have been there about that time, you'd have heard a gulp. Amen. You'd have seen some feet shuffling in the sand, and it would have been hers. And then he looked into her eyes and said, "God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." You know what he did? He pulled the rug out from all of her religion. Just pulled it out from under her. But then turned around and gave her some solid truth. You must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen? Absolute honesty before God in the heart of your hearts, in line with the truth of the Word of God. Oh my. He went right to the heart of the subject, real worship. She didn't know anything about that. She was no doubt quite impressed, but she's still fighting. She's still struggling. And she wants to talk religion again and how much religion she knows. And the woman saith unto him, "I know that Messiah cometh." The Messiah is coming, which is called Christ. Said, "I know the Hebrew word and I know the Greek word." Huh? That's what she's saying. "I know the Hebrew word Messiah, Mashiach. And I know that Greek word Christos." Said, "When he comes, he will tell us all things." And so she pulls that number and she starts in on that and she's saying, "I know this, I know that." And she only knew about the Messiah. It was just religion to her. She was a religious know-it-all. Ooh, ooh, I don't want to be a religious know-it-all. You know, I can almost tolerate an old, overtly wicked sinner out in the world than I can a religious know-it-all. But she was both. Yeah, that's a pretty bad combination. But you know what? He loved her. He loved her. He saw how dry and thirsty her soul was, how desperately she needed him. And he loved her. But she's trying to be a know-it-all. One of the old Puritans said, "It's not becoming for worms to strut." You got the picture, didn't you? They could say some things, I tell you what. Can you see a worm talking? I've been wanting everybody to be impressed with how good he is and how big he is. Huh? It's not becoming. That's what she was. That's what I was. Amen? That's what you were. Well, she's bragging about what she knows. And said, Messiah's going to come and he's going to tell us all things. And Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am. She stopped. I am. I am the solution to the burden of sin you're carrying. I am the solution to all the guilt and the shame that you bear. I am the solution to the problem that you've got with God's condemnation on you as a sinner. I'm the solution to the problem you've got separated from God and in soul misery. I am the solution. I'm the answer to your soul's thirst. I'm the God that you must worship in spirit and in truth, must bow to and must believe and must receive now. That's what he was saying. I that speak unto thee am he. She's just talking about the Messiah. And I know that he is supplied, but I'm telling you folks, he got the point across. And you know, right then, his disciples came. Right between verse 26 and 28. That would be verse 27. Amen? You got it? They came. And they're startled. They're startled. She's a Samaritan. And she's a woman. They're shocked. What if they knew that he was not just talking to her, but that he was going to die for her? My. They were startled. It's kind of like a dramatic pause. She's got her jaw hanging open, freeze frame. Amen? Just like that. She's standing there and he just said, I that speak unto thee am he. Amen? I am. Well, something's happening in her heart. You say, how do you know? Just a minute, I'll tell you. Something's happening in her heart. No, something's done happened in her heart. Say, how do you know? Because the Bible says in verse 28, then, suddenly, then, all of a sudden, what happens? She left her water pot and went her way into the city. What happened? Well, listen, you know what her agenda was when she got up that day? Is she knew that around noon or early afternoon when the sun was the hottest, that she needed to get to that well. And maintain her secrecy, you know, not be around the public, and get that water. And she knew she had to get the water, and there she was, and she was going to get the water, and that was what her life was about every day. She just left, she just went to get water. But now the Bible said she left her water pot. You see that? Look at it, verse 28. She left her water pot. That was her agenda. Somehow her agenda didn't matter anymore. She found his agenda was everything. Amen? Everything was about him now. It's like it all came together in a dash. Amen? Just like that. She found the worth of Messiah. She found the worth of the Christ. It was a startling worth, an instant worth. an infinite worth, a blessed worth, a new worth, a wonderful worth, a worth that made her heart rejoice, a worth that quenched her thirst of her dry, parched, hopeless, helpless soul. It was done. He filled her heart. He consumed her soul and satisfied it all at the same time. Her heart's overflowing with him, filled with him, flabbergasted and totally enchanted with him now. She forgot all about her plans. They just didn't matter anymore. What she thought she had to have and what she thought she needed more than anything else, it was just a bunch of stuff. She left her plans, left her ways. She left her carnal, corrupt desires. She left her past. Her heart's overflowing with him. It's all about him. She had just come to believe and know him and his worth. She just got some of that getting saved, honey. Amen. She got some of that water of life. She believed on him and she came to know the gift of God. That's what I call worship at the well. Amen. I mean, the worth of Christ, knowing the worth of Christ, expressing the worth of Christ is what worship is all about. And she got in on it. Amen. When you're so moved by his worth that you receive him, that you believe on him, that you're so moved by his worth that your very heart is changed and you become a new creature. You're so overwhelmed with his worth that his worth, his love, his forgiveness, his glorious being so fills and so satisfies your innermost heart. Well, I'm going to say you just worshiped. That he becomes your all in all, your heart's treasure, your heart's joy, and everything within you says he's altogether lovely. Woo, I tell you what, you just worshiped at the well. Amen. I mean, when you're so moved by his worth that you willingly drop and leave your agenda, that's repentance. It's not, listen, it is not forced. It is essential, but it's not forced. I don't know how all that works, but if somebody is broken before him, he'll help them. Amen. I can just tell you that. That's what happened here. Then you just found his worth. You just worshiped him for real. She talking about worshiping God in this mountain or that mountain. No, she just worshiped him. She just found his worth. She just worshiped him for real. She just repented. She just believed. She just came to know and love him and knew the gift of God. You know how long all that took? About like that, except a little faster. Amen. Right then, when somewhere between verse 26 and, 28, amen? Right about there, she came to know him. And that's not radical religion, that's just real salvation, amen? Coming to know him, the gift of God. And by the way, she fell in love with him, amen? And if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, accursed. That's what the Word of God says in 1 Corinthians 16:22. None but those that love him on earth can enjoy him in heaven. Amen. And you can talk about loving him till the cows come home, as they say. But I tell you what, you know whether you really do or not, and you know when you came to love him. Amen. I can tell you when you came to love him, it's when you came to know he first loved you. Amen. When you met him there at the well. Well, you know, when he said, I am, amen, I am, just like Yahweh, Jehovah, I am. Right then, she left her water pot, ran back into the city with a well in her heart. No wonder she left her pot. She didn't care, amen. I mean, that's the moment, that's the exact point. That was her initiation into the wonder of the real worship of Christ. Years ago, I was telling Pastor about this. Years ago, I was in big camp meeting at our home church, and there was a preacher friend of mine that had come, and a pretty big crowd at that time, and I didn't see him a lot, and he came to me one afternoon, and honestly, he looked about as white as his handkerchief. just all the blood drained out of his face. He's all shook up, you know. And he said, I don't know. He said, I hadn't got what these folks got. Now, I'm not just talking about running around the church, you know, and that kind of thing, but just praising God. Amen. You hear him sing Victory in Jesus one time, and if you're lost, you get under conviction. Amen. Because they mean it. Amen. And it was just tearing him up. Folks shouting hallelujah, and yeah, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, but there was nothing unscriptural. Amen. And all of it, you could understand in English too. I'll just clarify that. All right. But I'm saying he was tore up. And he said, I don't have what these folks have. And I tried to help him out. To this day, I don't remember what I said. I didn't really know how to handle it, to be honest with you. And the next day, he came to me and he said, I got saved. I'm talking about a preacher. Huh? Pastored church and everything. Yeah, I got saved, he told me. Amen. What are you saying? I'm saying there's a difference, a total difference when you come to know him, just like with her. It was right then when he said, I am. That was the moment of her conversion. That was the moment of instantaneous salvation. It is not a process. Now, there's a process that leads up to it. I'll be the first to acknowledge that. But getting saved is a birth. Amen? He doesn't have a problem with it. Get hung up here, hung up. No. I tell you what. It's when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you get saved. Amen. Problem is that a lot of folks that believe like she did before he was there. They believe all about him, but they've never taken their place as a sinner to believe on him and get their soul's thirst quenched. That was the very moment, the exact point when she repented of her way and her sin and her sinful, selfish, sickening agenda. I'm not just talking about the water, amen? That was the exact moment when she believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and on the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the moment that her heart came to know him, the gift of God. That was the moment that she saw the beauty of the rose of Sharon. That was the moment that she inhaled for herself the sweet fragrance of the one who's altogether lovely. Amen. And she came to know him. And that was the exact moment that she valued and worshipped him personally for the first time in her life. First time in her life. That was the very moment that she died to sin and to self and found new life in Christ. She died and was born all over again on the spot. Say, preacher, that can't be. Oh, yeah, it can. And you better know it's got to happen to you if you intend to go to heaven. I don't care what Willie Nelson or anybody else says. Amen. You must be born again. Yes, sir. Well, that was the exact moment when she drank with her heart that living water. And knew instantly that her soul's thirst was quenched and satisfied for it. She was saved by the grace of God. That exact moment she was saved. See, I don't believe that. Doesn't matter, she was. Amen. And God wants to save you if you're not saved. Amen. And he can. Oh, yeah. And you watch her now. Watch her. We're almost done. In verse 28, the Bible said the woman then left her water pot. And she went her way into the city and saith to the men. And let me say this as delicately as possible. But I believe the men knew her the way she was before. The men knew her the way she was before. And she knew them before. And now she's saying, come see a man, amen, which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? You better know he's here. I've repented. Now you need to repent. You men need him too, amen. Her heart was overflowing with him. Her heart was rejoicing in him. And she didn't give a rip. If they wanted to tease her, if they wanted to talk ugly to her, if they wanted to be mean to her, it just didn't matter. She's overflowing with him and she wanted them to know him too. Well, what is that? I'll tell you what, that's that well inside of her flowing over. Amen. And it just didn't matter now what others thought about her. She's no longer defensive and touchy like she was there. Remember how touchy she was? You know, she's saying, forget about me. It's all about him now. Let them mock me if they will. It's all about him. And you know what the result was? If you read the rest of it, it resulted in many others coming to Christ and being born all over again and worshiping. Amen. Now, you may not have been at the well. You might have been in the living room. But you remember when you first worshiped him. You first valued him. Amen. You just trusted in him. He said, I am. You trusted him. Amen. My Savior. He's all that my heart's ever desired or could ever possibly have longed for. He's everything. He is the water of life. Amen. He is the gift of God. And it's all about him now. And the question I got in closing, have you worshiped at the well? Amen. Or the living room. One lady said that she got under conviction at a camp meeting. She told me about it the next day. She wasn't real happy with me the day before that. But they're on their way home, and they're in a Pinto. And she somehow got in the back seat of a Pinto and got saved. Amen. That's two miracles. Amen. But I'm saying you may not have been at the well, but you remember where you were. Might have been right up in here somewhere. A lot of times it is. Might have been by your bed. Might have been on the floor in your living room or your bedroom or wherever. Amen. Might have been out in the back 40 between the handles of a plow or something. You know, I mean, hey, people get saved. I know one fella got saved in a car going down the road. I don't know how he didn't have a wreck. Amen. Yes, sir. God will do the saving, though, when you're finally ready to repent and agree with him. You hold still. Listen to him. Listen to what he's saying to you. Agree with him. Amen. Take sides with him against yourself about your sin. Amen. And admit and be brokenhearted about it and listen real close and you'll find out he is the gift of God. And as many as received him, to them gave you power to become the sons of God. Have you worshiped at the well? Well, he's here. He's here tonight. He's here. You don't have to look around. He's there. Yeah, and he's there too. He's here. But you got to be willing for him to show you that you're a sinner. Some people, like that one young lady I dealt with at an altar one time. She's tore up, and she's up there in the altar, and she's needing God. But when I began to talk to her about being lost, I didn't know. I found out later. I told you about her several years ago. Maybe you forgot by now. But anyway, she was the one who memorized the scripture for all the young people. She's the one who led out in the Bible quizzes. She's the one that went out witnessing. She's the one that did this, did that, did the other. She's the one everybody thought was the prima donna of all the spiritual young people. I didn't know that's who I was dealing with. Didn't have a clue. Her pastor told me later. And she's down there, and God has got his hand on her heart and said, tell it. You admit what you are. Underneath it all, you know you've never been born again. You're as lost as you could possibly be. You're guilty before me. You're under condemnation. He that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is what happened. As we're talking about these things, she looked up, tears streaming down her face, and she said, but I've been such a good little girl. But you know, when she said that, it was almost like she threw up something that needed throwing up. Yeah. Amen? And she broke and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and God saved her. Amen? Yeah. She had to admit, now I'm not against being good. Amen? I think even lost people ought to try to be as good as they can and ought to honor God to the best of their ability. Amen? Yeah. But don't count on a whit of it to have anything to do with you ever getting saved. Truth is, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Amen. You know it. Amen. Filthy rags. God not only isn't impressed by it, but he said it's in the negative column. When it comes right down to it, all the goodness you can perform will just, as long as you're dependent upon that, it'll just hinder you from getting saved. Jerk it. Throw it down. Say, God, I don't want any of it. I'm lost. I'm a sinner just like her. I'm just another worm, and I'm going to quit strutting. I need Christ to save me. I'm a sinner. Listen, he's here. Can he show you your sin? She had to hold still long enough to admit, to find out where she was. Now, granted, he just kind of searched her out wherever she went, but that only goes so far and just for so long. There is a line by us unseen that crosses every path, that hidden boundary between God's patience and his wrath. To cross that limit is to die. To die as if by stealth. You don't realize it, nobody else even knows it. It does not quench the gleaming eye or pale the glow of health. But when that line's crossed, I do believe God's got a deadline. But I also believe people know when the Lord Jesus is encountering them. And thank God he'll go out of his way. Amen. He'll go out of his way to get to you. He'll go out of his way to deal with you. He'll go out of his way to get you to be honest about your sin and your desperate condition, that you might be ready for a real drink of water. Amen? The water of life. What's he really worth to you? Remember when you first worshipped him? Are you still worshiping him? Are you still in love with the one whose altogether loveliness is? Amen? What's he worth to you really? Has he ever been worth more than your agenda and just what you want to do in life? I'll tell you what, everything changes when you get saved. It's all about him. And it becomes that more and more and more and more as you go on after you're saved. Well, you just repent and believe. Repent. That means be willing to agree with God. You don't want your sin and you're sorry. I'm talking about in your soul. And you finally receive the gift of his son who paid for all of your sins there on that cross as your substitute. And when you receive him, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You just worshiped God's son. When was that? That you dropped your agenda and you came to love him because you just came to know his love for you. Have you worshiped at the well? I am closing now. I tell you what it does. It makes you want to tell somebody. Makes you a new creature every time. Amen? Not perfect, but I tell you, there's somebody inside now that makes you want to be. Amen? Just makes you want to be. Lord, I don't know all that you're speaking to hearts. There may be someone here tonight that grace has never really been amazing to them. It's just something they've heard about all their life. There may be someone here tonight that say, well, I've never done all those things that woman did, but I know God knows me, and I'm a sinner. And I'm sick and tired of trying to hide what I am or pretend like I'm something else. I want to run to the cross, run to the open arms of the Lord Jesus tonight for him and him by the virtue of his shed blood on Calvary to save me all by himself, not by my merit, but all because of him. Yes. I'm coming to rest on him, to trust him tonight, my Lord and my Savior. I'm ready to set aside my agenda. I want Christ more than anything. Doesn't even matter who knows it, who likes it, who doesn't like it, who understands or doesn't understand. I'm coming to Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God. I'm coming to receive the gift of God tonight. Once and for all, God's speaking to your heart. I'm going to turn it over to Pastor. He's going to lead in the invitation. And I know that if you're ready, and God, I know God's ready. If he's dealing with your heart, he's ready. Amen. Why don't you come to the well? Amen. Why don't you come to the well and get you a drink of that living water?
Amen. Let's stand together.